Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Nate Darling Show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for telling a friend if you've been doing that. If you haven't, what's wrong with you? Don't you want to share free comedy?
Yeah.
Jerks.
Stupid faces.
We also encourage, a dialogue between us and our listeners. However, if you're going to dialogue, please make sure you remember which one of us saw Black Panther twice and which one of us is not before you before you go into a long explanation of the parts that you don't get.
What happened?
So Sunday night, I get a message from Sushi Brian, and just unsolicited, he starts telling me all of the things about Black Panther he doesn't get.
Uh-oh.
I didn't read it that carefully, and here's the thing. I haven't seen it, so this means nothing to me, but it's quite long, so let me Jason, have you seen Black Panther?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So I'm the only one who hasn't at that point.
Yeah. That's weird because he actually sent me a message to ask me if he thought that it was okay for his daughter to see it.
Sure.
Yeah. So he could have sent me the follow-up question.
He could have. This is how it starts. Black Panther. Why did Killmonger steal the artifact with Claw? Why didn't he just kill Claw and walk him right into the Wakanda from the very beginning, rather than go through the entire sale process to the CIA, then break him out of the CIA holding cell, only to escape to the airfield and shoot him dead? I didn't get that at all. My response, I haven't seen it. And he says, that's right, Kareem saw it twice and you haven't seen it yet. That's correct. That's fine. It's not going to ruin it for me.
Yeah, no, that won't.
That will not ruin
that will not
ruin
it for you. Yeah.
I was hoping to see it this past weekend, but I had a little touch of a sinus cold. It's under the weather. Hmm. Felt like crap. So,
and fuck you, weather allergens.
It wasn't allergies because it was the exact same thing that Leslie had had the weekend before.
So it was just some fuck you cold.
Yeah, it was some fuck you cold. Like I'm sitting at work last Friday, and
piece of shit.
I can't focus on anything, and I'm feeling lightheaded, and I was just like, you know what, I need to go home. So I came home, went to bed, and that was most of my weekend. Although we did finally see I, Tonya. We did the thing where you buy it before you can rent it for, I think it was $16.99,
mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh my god, it's cheaper than two movie tickets.
Yeah.
So that's what we thought, because we watched it together, and because we have DirecTV and Leslie's dad's on the same thing because of the genie, he gets to watch it too. So it's way cheaper than three movie tickets.
Yeah.
I, Tonya was a spoiler alert. no, it was a good movie. Even though you know the story, you know what happened. There's a lot of stuff you didn't necessarily know. Little hard to watch in spots with the domestic violence and all of that stuff, but overall a good movie. I can see why Allison Janney won Best Supporting Actress. Her and I don't know where the bird was at the Oscars though. You'll get that once you've seen it. it was referenced on Saturday Night Live too this week, so I feel justified in mentioning that. Anywho, that's enough of me. Jason, what you been up to?
CJ had a swim class on Saturday morning, so we did that. Pretty exciting. Not.
That diaper is really heavy now after being in the pool.
No, they don't wear a diaper. They have the special swim diapers, so like it's tight, and they would just, you know, poop on themselves pretty much or pee on themselves.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So anyhow, I went to that.
Sounds great.
And Chris was the PIP parent in the pool.
Oh, okay.
So that's what our Saturday was. We went to a work thing for her. Somebody from work had an engagement party.
Oh, okay.
And then Sunday, Chris took CJ to church. And
let the indoctrination begin.
And I stayed home.
He is a black dad.
Is that a classic dad move? Black dad move? Yeah.
Yeah. Piccolo Chapel.
Yeah. So I got some alone time with video games. I had a beta that I was so excited to play, but I went on and the server was full, so I could not play Sea of Thieves.
No.
I know. But that is you want to talk about a fucking rad game. It's pretty awesome.
Cool.
You guys care. The listeners, nobody cares about me playing video games.
Look, I guarantee there's at least one or two people out there who are stoked on the video game.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a billion-dollar industry.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not like the president doesn't want a rating system on the
fine. Fuck that guy and all of his shit when it comes to fucking video games. Because you want to know what the number one countries, like, aside from the United States are that play video games?
It's Japan.
Yeah, yeah. And how many mass school shootings have they had in the last?
They have a very rigorous thing about owning a gun there.
Oh, okay. So they don't have any mass shootings.
That's true. It's not the gun that does the shooting. It's the person that does the shooting. Here's the thing. If I can't get a gun to do the shooting, no matter how much I want to do a shooting, I can't do a shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's also been rigorous studies done on it also.
And then, as Chris Rock said in his special, if 66 people are still standing there and they get stabbed, then they all should be stabbed.
That's true.
Like, after the first two, the next 63 or 64 deserve what they get.
Let me equate it to this. If you're a teenager and you want something really bad, like if you're a guy teenager and what you want more than anything in the world is to stick your dick into a young girl, but you can't find a young girl who's willing to let that happen, you're not going to stick your dick into a young girl. It's the same thing with a gun. If you really want a gun, but you're not allowed to have a gun, and you can't pass the check to get a gun, then you don't have a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No matter how much you want it, no gun for you.
Sorry, no gun for you.
I think that's really the best explanation, because I have not seen people get this upset about not being able to get something that is allegedly to protect themselves. I'm to protect myself.
It's like white people in the N-word.
It's like people, like, the thing that I don't get probably more than anything else, like, how you can so vehemently be like people would say that we want to take away, like, people want to ban all guns. Like, you know, and it's like, I don't think I've heard really anybody that's an American, that's a sensible American for the most part, that said that they want to ban all guns.
I mean, you hear it occasionally, but it's from the people that are way on the far left.
It's like from that 10%.
Sure, it's from Keith Lowell Jensen.
Not even 10%. It's like 5%.
Like, most of it just weren't really rigorous, much more rigorous, like,
yeah,
checks against it, which is, I don't.
And 96% of the people in the NRA are for the same thing. But you can't get those 96%. But the people that are running the NRA don't want those 96% of people to have their way, because they're not run by those 96% of people.
Right.
No, they're run by the gun manufacturers.
Right.
We've discussed this. The NRA is a farce.
Yes.
It's a farce.
So when 96% of your people are saying, we want these gun rights, we think these things should be banned, and the people, your boss, is saying, I need these motherfuckers to buy guns, what are you going to do? You're going to tell them what you need to get them to be okay with you selling
them guns. They're trying to take away all your guns.
You got to tell them you're taking away all your guns.
Listen, Thomas Jefferson wanted you to have that AR-15, because by God, our government, when it was started, said you should have the weapons to defend yourself from our government.
Yes.
No. No, no, no. No, 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 no.
No, the states are allowed to get...
No, 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 well, no. It wasn't to defend yourself from our government. It was to defend yourself from foreign invaders, a well-regulated militia, because we had just come off the revolution, and the War of 1812 was yet to come, and therefore it made sense. By the way, what part of well-regulated are you having an issue with?
Yes.
And then you're not in a militia.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be well-regulated.
And you really needed that militia to keep your slaves in line.
Well, there's that, too. Sure.
That's really what that was about.
Okay. Well, it always comes back to that.
Unfortunately, so much of our country.
That's
does.
True. So I will ask you this. Kareem, how was your International Women's Day?
Man, you know, I've actually had to think about some things with International Women's Day coming up.
Oh, well, we just passed it.
That just passed.
Yeah.
Because I have always considered myself, and I take that back because I never considered myself an ally. I don't even use that word. I just have been trying to be a good friend to all of my friends, male and female.
Sure.
And try to support all of my friends in whatever endeavor they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But now it feels almost like you're being forced to do something instead of doing it because you want to do it.
I see what you mean. I see what you mean. Jason, what did your wife tell you to do for International Women's Day?
Nothing.
Just leave me alone.
No, I mean, I thought about the fact of, like, I could have gone and posted about how, you know, I was so proud of the women in my life and my grandmother for, you know, working into, like, a high-profile job as a woman at an executive level back in the 70s when that didn't really happen and how she had to fight her way for that. And she still got half the pay that the guy above her got in the position before her. Or I could talk about my wife and how, you know, she works in biology. Like, you know what I mean? I could talk about all the amazing women in my life, but that's not really what that day's about.
See what that is, and I saw people do that. What that is making International Women's Day about you.
Yeah. That's not what it's about. Like, it's about just understanding that, like, this is a day to think about women and how they have, like, if you're a man, it's not your day to fucking talk about shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, like, give them the day, man. Hey, give them the fucking day to do whatever they want or say whatever they want or, like, tell you whatever they want to tell you. And take it upon yourself to treat women that day with more respect if you're a douchebag, usually. I don't know. Is it for that one day?
For me, it's a lot like the Me Too movement. It's like, I'm not going to interject.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen. Because that's what I need. That's what we need to do more of. We need to listen to each other more and not interject our feelings, which is something I struggle with. Cause you might be aware of this. I have opinions about shit.
Yeah.
And that's why I have a podcast.
And that's part of what with me with the day was, and it goes back to some of the stuff was like with the Me Too. It was like, it's normally one of those things I would have been like, you know, cheering for the women. And I'm not against International Women's Day. Like, women's, like, I think everybody should be celebrated all the time for whatever you accomplish. But I don't know. Like I said, at this point, and with all of the things that have come out of Me Too, it almost, like I said, it almost feels like, it's like, when you date a girl and you want to do something for her, and then she, or you're trying to set up a date for her or something special for her, and then she asks you for it before you can get it done. And then you're kind of like, well, fuck, I don't want to do it now because you made it a demand as opposed to me something that I wanted to do for you. And it's like, yeah. So, yeah.
By the way, if you are the guy who on social media feels the need to go, when's International Men's Day? You know what you deserve?
Kicking the balls.
Kicking the balls. Kicking the balls.
Go fuck yourself.
Just a kick in the balls. Now, I will admit, probably about 7 or 8 years ago, the first time I heard of International Women's Day, I was that guy.
Okay.
I was that guy. Because, you know, you get the Facebook memories? Yeah, that was one of them.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah. Now, to be fair, I had just broken up with my ex-wife, so I wasn't feeling great about women.
Understood.
So.
Overstood.
That was good. I was kind of hoping she was an international woman at that point, you know, like in Siberia.
like as far away from me as possible.
Well, she did do that. She went back to New York.
Oh, thank
you. So there's that.
Take it. Take that cold, barren state. No, I'm just kidding.
Get the hell out of here with that. So, you remember I mentioned I don't feel the need to express my opinion all the time on social media because I have a podcast? Well, news came across earlier today. Trump's military parade is now set for Veterans Day. Congratulations, Kareem. Will you be making the trek to D.C. for the parade? You're a veteran.
No. If I do, it'll be the moon, the parade as it walks by.
The Pentagon says a military parade requested by President Trump will take place in Washington on Veterans Day to honor those who have served in the military from the Revolutionary War through today.
So I don't think I have any respect left for anybody in the top of the chain of command for the military with this.
It's tough because in the military, the whole thing is you respect authority. He's the commander-in-chief, but the commander-in-chief is really Lieutenant Bonespurs, who did everything he could to not serve in the military.
Like, we didn't even have regular parades when I was in the military.
Right.
Like, you know, after tech school and basic training, there weren't parades all the, you know.
Right. And the last thing you want to do is, like, if you're not used to having, I don't know, I'm sure the guys can all march, right, though? They'll all be able to march.
Yeah, like, they have certain people that are specifically for that, but that's usually not your... Okay, so the people that are due, like, honor guard and color guard,
Yeah. That's
like a part-time job in the military
right.
So, like, you don't...
Not anymore. Full-time.
Yeah, it's not something that you do every day. This is your job that you do all the time.
Right.
It's one of those things that...
Rotates through everybody.
Not everybody. It's people that want to do it.
Okay.
But it's like having it's a side gig, pretty much. So that group of people, they go out specifically for those things. But they have like a regular day job the rest of the week or when there isn't a funeral or whatever. So, to amass however many thousands of people that it's going to take to actually pull this off, the waste of jet fuel, because there's like a air component to it.
Yep, it's going to end with a big air component.
Where are you going to house all those people? I mean, unless you're going to have everybody that's from Andrews. I guess there are a couple of bases in the area, but there's not enough to have enough people to do a parade like this. So where are you going to house all those people? What transportation are you going to use to get all those people there? Just the wear and tear on the machines and the streets in D.C., like, you know, the streets are barely made for trucks.
Right.
You know, oversized trucks. They're not made for tanks and that kind of stuff.
Right. They have put in assurances that there will not include tanks to minimize damage to city streets.
I bet you that pissed him off.
Now, the memo that came out from the military does not estimate costs, but as NPR has reported, estimates have suggested it will be between $3 million and $50 million.
Probably closer to $50 million. It's not going to be $3 million.
No. That's an incredibly low number for something like that. They say by potentially tying the parade to the 100th anniversary of the end of the war to end all wars, that would be World War I for those unaware, there may be an effort to associate with the tradition of celebrating war victories and avoid associations with countries like North Korea, China, and Russia, which regularly hold military parades in part for the propaganda value.
What the hell does he think this is?
That's exactly it. Well, here's the thing. If it's just once, then you can go, okay, it was one time, it was the 100th anniversary of the reason we have Veterans Day, the marking the date, but he wanted it on the 4th of July.
And he's not going to want to stop at once.
That's the rub on this.
Yeah, and those idiots don't realize that that's not the case. They think that
we'll do one and then he'll forget about it and go away.
No.
I recently read an article where Kelly and this is why I still like hold out sometimes little bits of hope is that Kelly and Mattis are both guys that are military men, you know, traditional.
See, this is why white people are shocked by shit all the time, because y'all don't pay attention to the signs.
I know. But Kelly would not allow there to be the guy that's in charge of the EPA, Pruitt, right?
Is that yeah.
Pruitt? Yeah. So Pruitt wanted to have a debate about climate change. The head of the EPA wanted to have a debate about climate change and the science behind it. And Kelly shut it down completely. Like, said that is not happening and it's not going to happen. And you can walk back with having any of that. Because him and Mattis think that it's a threat to national security, climate change in the first place. Because they see what happens happening.
It is the biggest threat to national security.
So like, when I hear things like that, or I read an article like that, that gets buried, kind of. You know, it's like with everything else that happens. I hope, you know, I just hope that there's kind of sometimes some, like, there's a line that these guys have about certain things, you know, because they're like, hey, you can have your politics with it. You do all your politics and your shit like that, but the moment that it's crossed on this line and you're going to possibly ruin, like, no, step back.
So here's the other part of this. Okay. So now you're going to have people who are supposed to be manning stations on certain, on various things. So they're not going to be manning their station because they're going to spend at least 2 weeks preparing for this parade.
Mm-hmm.
That's the minimum. They're going to spend at least 2 weeks, if not the month leading into it, to get ready for this parade.
It's a lot. Now, I don't know what programs are available to veterans to help homeless veterans, to help veterans who are struggling to make ends meet, deal with mental issues, et cetera, et cetera. We know there's issues with the VA. And call me gullible or naive, but I would rather see the funds and the efforts that's going into this parade going into things that would actually help veterans who need help. I think that would be the patriotic thing to do. That would salute veterans more than some bullshit parade.
I concur.
And if you're going to hold a parade, here's what you do. You go, we're going to have a parade, and you have about 10 guys, just 10 guys, walking that route. About the number that would go out on like a scouting expedition in combat.
Yeah.
Have them walk the route and have them look and look, have people look and see how alone they look and imagine that they are going out and scouting in a war zone.
Yeah.
As they would. I think that would have a bigger impact. I think that would drive it home to people a lot more as opposed to just this big bullshit thing. Everybody in the world knows we've got way more military than you do.
Yeah.
Who are you trying to convince? What are you trying to do with this? And we know the answer to that. It's ego.
It's
ego from Commander Tiny Hands.
Yes.
So, anywho, I was on Twitter earlier today, and I saw a hashtag that amused the hell out of me. And the hashtag is Money Boo Boo. And this one guy, he doesn't have a lot of followers on Twitter. He's not famous. He was retweeted by somebody. He will not say Trump's name on Twitter. He merely refers to him as hashtag Money Boo Boo. So the latest tweet as of this point was, to all of you who are new to this circle of crazy, hashtag Money Boo Boo equals he who shall not be acknowledged. That is all. I think my mind wanders and I lost the GPS tracker I placed upon it. So there may be more, though I seem to. Hi to all the newcomers. And as I'm scrolling back through and I'm seeing certain things, he also tweeted, remember the shit after the London terrorist attacks? Money Boo Boo has no class nor sense.
They raise hell over Obama not saying radical terrorists, but when Money Boo Boo refuses to say Russia, not a peep nor bleep.
It's true. The Russians have been accused of using a nerve agent, a toxin, chemical warfare weapon, in a city in the UK, in a crowded area, to attack one of their former agents and his daughter. Other people have been hurt in this too. And the President of the United States is saying nothing.
He's not said a word.
Not a word. And I don't expect he will either.
And just the idea that that nobody that the other party has, won't even acknowledge the fact that he won't say anything bad about that or Russia. Well, he won't even say Russia, except to say that they had no.
Oh, he had no collusion with them.
They had no collusion with
them. Yeah, no, they decided that.
In breaking news, the Republicans in Congress have decided that they're going to go ahead and announce that they've concluded that
the House, not the Congress.
The House. But just the Republicans. The Democrats have not seen the report yet.
Yeah.
But they decided to come out and announce it.
I heard Nunes was still working on it.
Yeah, he's working on stuff. All right, now to more pleasant presidential news. Hey, remember Barack Obama and his wife, Michelle?
Oh.
Well, they're reportedly saying screw politics and joining an increasingly popular trend. They're getting their own show on Netflix. Ooh. In talks with the streaming service to produce a series of high-profile shows and provide exclusive content on a global level. That's according to the New York Times. The focus of the shows will apparently be on highlighting inspirational stories. So he's doing the Oprah thing, I guess. But there are other ideas as well. One is having Barack moderate conversations about topics that dominated his time in the White House, like healthcare and climate change. The terms of the deal are reportedly in advanced stages, but one thing seems clear. The Obama's content will not be used to bash President Trump or their critics. So, if you're expecting Barack Obama to say something bad about Donald Trump, you're going to have to get him drunk in private.
Yeah.
Because he ain't saying it publicly.
Yeah. I don't even know if he would do it there. I think he has a certain amount of respect for the office of president. Just being I don't know if he would even say it close to
me. Oh, just for our previous thing, Pre-Barrar posted, Vladimir Putin could stand in the middle of the Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and he wouldn't lose Donald Trump's vote.
That's true. It's very true. All right, let's get away from politics for a moment. This is a story that went across my radar a little earlier on Monday. Hold on. Oh, because the TV's not on. Sorry, guys.
It's all right.
Woman en route to her wedding was arrested for DUI.
Hey.
And there's a wonderful photograph of her in her wedding dress, handcuffed. She was stopped Monday morning just outside of Tucson, Arizona, after a three-car collision where one person was injured. Sergeant Chriswell Scott tweeted a photo of the woman about to get in the police car and wrote, "Don't drive impaired till death do we part, doesn't need any help." She was released later on in the day. Wah, wah.
Oops.
Whoops. Arizona. You crazy kooky kids. All right, so here are the known USA Today. I don't want to get notifications.
God darn it.
Jason, you know this. Excessive drinking can lead to a variety of health problems and significantly shorten a person's life.
Mm-hmm.
Claims nearly 90,000 lives each year, as a matter of fact, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And those who die as a result of alcohol abuse do so 30 years prematurely on average. So that includes binge drinking and heavy drinking. Binge drinking is defined as 4 or more drinks in a single occasion for women and 5 or more for men. And heavy drinking is defined as at least 8 drinks per week for women and 15 per men.
Man.
15. That's a good night. Nationwide, 18% of adult Americans drink an excessive amount of alcohol. However, excessive drinking rates range considerably across the states. What are the drunken states? We'll go from the least drunk to the most drunk. Tennessee, the least drunk. That's surprising to me. If I lived in Tennessee, I'd be drunk all the time.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. West Virginia, then, I would also be drunk there. Utah, yep, I'd have to be drunk. Alabama, oh yeah, drunk.
Bible Belt. These are all like,
this is all bullshit.
Did they not count black people, Kareem? Mississippi?
Obviously not.
I'd be drunk all the time. New Mexico, yep, I'd be drunk all the time. Oklahoma, drunk all the time. North Carolina, drunk all the time. Arkansas, absolutely blotto all the time.
They are.
Idaho, I might dial it back in Idaho for a little bit and go for a hike. Maryland, drunk all the time. Nevada, they're not counting the people who visit Vegas.
No.
Arizona, Kentucky, yeah. Right. South Carolina, sure. Delaware, uh-huh. Indiana, uh-huh. I'd be literally drunk all the time if I had Georgia.
Can we make some guesses before we get too much further?
Not be talking about Atlanta.
Right. What would you like to guess, Jason?
Oh, I want to guess the number one.
Okay, well, you can guess the number one if you'd like. Hold on, let me scroll down. All right, so, Jason, what do you think is number one?
I'm going to say something crazy here.
Okay.
And I'm going to say that it's probably someplace like, I'm like going between Alaska and Maine. Just because it's so cold in both those places. But I'm going to go with... I was going to say Alaska.
Okay, Kareem, what do you think the drunkest state is if you haven't read ahead?
I've already read ahead.
Okay. Jason, you are on the right track with Alaska. It is the third drunkest state, according to USA Today.
Okay, all right.
Maine is not that high. Maine comes in at number 11. Still in the top 20%.
Okay.
The number one drunkest state in the country, and we should know this from reading the Grand Forks Herald, because there ain't shit to do there. Yeah. It's North Dakota.
Of course it is.
North Dakota is number one. Wisconsin is number two. Then Alaska, Montana, Illinois, number five, Minnesota, Iowa. Hawaii is the first state that you might actually want to spend some time in. They're number eight. Nebraska, number nine, Michigan, 10. Yep. Vermont's 12, Massachusetts, 13. A lot of if you're in the cold, basically what they're saying is if it's cold, you drink a lot.
Yeah. Cause you're inside and that's all you can do. Like my buddy Ben, his wife is Austrian. He lives in the UK. He says like, when you go to Austria, like all they do there is have sex and drink during the winter. That's all anybody does.
No skiing?
Well, they ski. They ski, yeah. They ski, they have sex, and they drink a lot. That's all they do.
That sounds like a plan.
Sounds fun. California, if you're curious, came in 22nd with 18% of adults drinking excessively. That's exactly dead on with the national average. Alcohol-related driving deaths, it's the 15th lowest. Adults in fair or poor health, it's the 15th highest. And the drunkest metro area in California is... Care to guess?
Bakersfield. I'm just kidding.
Kareem, did you read this?
I did read it.
Care to guess?
Stockton.
No, it's Chico. Chico. Of course. A college town with a world-renowned brewery in town. Hmm. Chico, the drunkest metro area in California. Oh, let me scroll up through here. So we can get back to, North Dakota, the drunkest metro area is Fargo because it's the only metro area. Drunkest metro area in Wisconsin is Green Bay. Alaska is Fairbanks. Montana is Missoula. And Bloomington, Illinois is where people are the drunkest there.
So you know how California sits right in the middle with the average?
Yes.
The reason that is because we make the average. Like if you think about like the population of all these locations, like... Right, like the population of all of them equals like.
There's not that many people in a lot of those.
No, that's what I was saying. Like, our population is like encompasses all. Like,
yeah, if it's raw numbers, there's a lot more here.
Yeah,
like I think like we're like the most populous state, right?
Yes,
like,
we are.
Like, yeah, by a lot.
Yeah, it's California. I believe New York is second, and Texas is third.
But there's still no competition between even us and New York. Like,
no,
it's yeah,
no.
So I guess what I say is like that's what we're the average because that's. Because we are the average.
Okay.
Sorry.
Meanwhile, after failing a drug test last month, a New Mexico probationer claimed that she had been prescribed methamphetamine by a doctor, and she had the prescription to prove it.
No.
Well, that's what she said. Ginger Sharp, who's 34, was placed on probation last year following a forgery conviction. It's all starting to make sense. As part of her supervision, she was required to submit to periodic drug testing. That's according to documents filed in the courts in Albuquerque and as detailed in a criminal complaint. After her urine came up dirty last month, she was handcuffed and detained for a probation violation. That is when she decided to tell the probation officer, Robert Vigil, that she had been legally prescribed methamphetamine. She directed him to retrieve an empty bottle from her bag. The bottle, complaint reports, contained a label indicating that the probationer was prescribed methamphetamine 5 milligram tablets. Though the label seemed off, It had zero gloss and the lettering was slightly fuzzy. The probation officer opted to release Sharp from custody based on the prescription.
Wow. Oh, come on. Prescription and a blowjob.
A subsequent probe revealed that Sharp was not prescribed the suspected fraudulent prescription. When contacted by an investigator, the doctor who purportedly subscribed the meth laughed at the preposterous proposition, saying, and I quote, "I've never prescribed methamphetamine. I didn't even know you could."
I didn't either.
Yeah, I didn't know you could.
A hell of a thing.
Anyway, she got heroin, methadone, and
yeah, how
did she get methadone and meth?
How the fuck did that, like, that I cannot believe that probation officer just let, like, even despite the fact that, like, he noted it, like, they noted it. I shouldn't say he, but they noted it.
He got methadone and meth confused. That's what it was.
No, here's what she did. She forged a label saying that she was prescribed methamphetamine, and said, well, if I ever get stopped, I'll go, hey, I got a prescription. Someone will be dumb enough to buy it.
Yeah.
There's no way that guy was just, you cannot be a probation officer and be that stupid. Like, you cannot be that stupid. Like, you cannot be that stupid.
He just didn't give a damn.
Yeah, maybe he just didn't give a fuck. He's just like, man, you win.
You win on effort.
You win on effort.
Yeah, effort.
That's smart.
He's like, I don't want to do the paperwork. There you go. Like, go.
I don't feel like it.
Hey, my numbers are down this month. Try to have some success stories.
Meanwhile, in Memphis, apparently there's an investigation into multiple Memphis police officers after a body was left in a van in the Memphis Police Department impound lot for more than 6 weeks.
Jeez.
Well, thank God it's winter. WREG in Memphis learned that at least 6 Memphis police officers showed up to a crime scene near an apartment complex on Yale Road. Some of them are ranking officers, including 2 lieutenants and a sergeant. The information that they gathered shows that when an officer showed up the night of December 18th, he found Pablo Castro with 3 gunshot wounds, 2 to the neck and 1 to the stomach. Officers found evidence of a crime on the driver's side of the van. The crime scene investigator was notified. Then several officers began taking photos and collecting evidence. As the night went on, multiple ranking officers showed up, and a crime scene log was completed. Officers checked the nearby apartment complex for cameras. They found 2 of them. They talked to witnesses. It turns out another man was a passenger in the seat of the van. He told detectives he was a passenger. He was drinking beer, listening to music, when a man walked up on the driver's side and demanded money. He refused, and the man shot him several times. At no time was the back of the van checked until that guy got out of the hospital. He then went to get his vehicle from the impound lot. That's when he found the body of his friend. Can you imagine?
Oh, dude.
6 weeks of decay in the back of the van.
The van is no good.
Down by the river. Unbelievable. Police director said, although the cargo van was overly stocked with equipment, there's no explanation for how the deceased victim remained in the vehicle without being detected. Ooh, somebody's going to be in trouble. Craziness.
Did he not tell, or he wasn't in any shape to tell him that there was a body to ban?
Well, he didn't know.
No, it was his partner's body.
Well, he was in the passenger seat. But here's the thing. He went to the hospital. He got shot and went to the hospital.
Yeah.
So he didn't know where his buddy ended up.
Yeah. Wow.
That's crazy, right? You know what else is crazy? The Bachelor. You've heard about the end of that. Well, there's one state that wants to do something about it.
Good morning, I'm Rachel Martin. Ari Leyendijk, the latest star of TV's The Bachelor, may have found his one true love, but he better not find himself in Minnesota ever. This week, viewers learned that Ari had broken up with the season's winner, Minnesotan Becca Kufrin. What's more, he proposed to the runner-up on live TV. So a Minnesota lawmaker authored a bill banning Ari the Bachelor from ever setting foot in the state. Minnesota Nice has its limits. It's Morning Edition.
It's Morning Edition. So nothing's going on in Minnesota.
Nope.
Good to know. Good to know.
Get the fuck out of here. Like, I don't care who that guy is. He needs to get the fuck out of, like, their state legislature. Like, I hope he does not get reelected, because, man, fuck that dude. Like, serious. Like, you're going to waste the people's time. Like, that's taxpayer time right there. Like, for... Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you know, we don't like his type around here. Don't you ever be coming back in here, because we won't be having ya. Won't be having ya.
Florida. Land of enchantment.
You can go to Florida.
And crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
All right, now most bucket lists include pursuits like skydiving, seeing the Northern Lights, or running with the Bulls in Pamplona. But Tony Stracier, who wanted to steal something for Target. That's it. The 23-year-old Pennsylvania native was arrested after trying to boost bed sheets and Clif Bars from a Target in Clearwater, Florida. Apparently he hid merch in a reusable grocery bag and then he left the store. See, that's what happens when you make people bring their own bags. When he was subsequently confronted by the loss prevention officer, he dropped the stolen goods at the store's entrance, and they fled on foot. He later returned to Target to apologize for his actions. He reportedly told Clearwater police that he, quote, shoplifted is a thing for his bucket list, end quote. The theft, he added, was a lapse of good judgment. He's been charged with theft, booked into custody in the county jail on a misdemeanor count, released after posting $250 bond. He's 6 feet, 6 inches tall. He was a high school football and baseball star who attended West Virginia University. That's the shot the smoking gun has of him, where he played on the school's baseball team in 2015. He was a biology major who graduated last year from WVU. By the way, his mother is a district attorney for Somerset County, Pennsylvania. So,
hey, dumbass. Your bucket list should have been more specific. That should have been, I want to shoplift and not get caught.
His mother works for the court.
White privilege at its finest.
He's got to know better than that. Got to know better than that. But we have better Florida stuff for you. So hold on. This is the most Florida of Florida stories ever.
No.
A horse walked into a South Beach club. It freaked out.
Oh, fuck no. It's sad.
Now the internet is too. That's right. The Mokai Lounge in South Beach had a horse walk in, and the internet is outraged about it. The video of the incident, which starts out with a bikini-clad woman riding bareback on a white horse through a crowded venue, has been making the rounds. I'm sure you've all seen it. If you haven't, you probably should look it up. It was surrounded by club goers. Caught down the wrong thing there. There we go. And then it suddenly dropped to the ground, bucked around. It threw the woman off. People gasp and scream, and then that, of course, terrifies the horse. And the horse attempted to bite somebody. And then the video cut off. A Yelp user with the handle Tori S posted a complaint to the club's page. Last night a horse was brought into this club and used as entertainment. I was happy to see the horse kicking the partygoers. How disgusting. A nightclub is not a place for animals. Well, party animals, but... A fellow Yelp user, Laura D, said, "Don't go here. They promote animal abuse. They had a horse inside a packed nightclub struggling to get out. The owner needs to be charged."
No, the owner, the person who knew about horses needs to be charged, not the owner.
Yeah.
The owner thought it would be cool.
Yeah.
Somebody should have told the owner,
this is not going to work
because, especially if it's not a horse that's trained for that kind of situation.
There was an episode of the John Tapper show, the bar rescue.
Yeah.
Like where a horse came into one. And, like, it did the exact same thing. Like, I would have just showed the owner, like, I would just said, like, hey, watch this show, Bar Rescue. This is what happened at this one. Because that's what's going to happen. They can't do it. Horses can't do it. It's slippery.
Well, back in Studio 54's heyday, Bianca Jagger rode a similar-looking horse into the New York City Club in May 1977 for her birthday celebration.
Again, that's a movie horse. That's a studio horse who's used to doing things like that. A regular horse cannot do this shit. because they're skittish. They're bad as almost as bad as deer. They're not.
I'm sure
they are fear-driven animals.
And I'm sure somebody might have had more riding lessons when they were growing up.
Well,
she had some riding lessons, but she didn't have. That's a different level.
No. She might have had more experience with the horse. Here's, also,
yeah, the horse needs to have an experience with someone dropping a beat too, yeah. Because animals are spooked by loud noises. Duh.
Yeah.
Duh.
By the way, the Miami Beach has revoked the nightclub's business license.
Yeah.
Dumbasses.
Right. Can you imagine how much money that place is losing each day right now? Like a South Beach club like that, every night's probably packed. Like $20,000 a night, $30,000. Like it, a lot of money.
Well, they have no business license.
Yeah, well, they're fucked.
They're done. Done. IHOP has made an announcement. They have some breakfast-themed pancake-wear clothing line. called Pancake Wear. It's created to benefit children's charity, so don't you laugh at it. Mm-hmm. They'll soon be offering onesies, lounge pants, and socks in adult and children's sizes, featuring breakfast-themed prints. The ultra-comfy Pancake Wear by IHOP collection is the perfect accessory for eating pancakes, dreaming about pancakes, talking about pancakes, and general pancake revelry, according to the chain. I'm guessing it will also be perfect for shopping at Walmart, because I'm sure that's where you'll see people with them.
And somebody's kid is going to want it. Because they don't know better.
By the way, in a related story, Taco Bell and Forever 21 are collaborating on a fashion line.
Of course they are.
I would not doubt it.
Every chalupa you get, you get a Forever 21 tie.
Is it a French fry line?
Unclear. I did not read it. Yeah. I'm not getting into any of that horse shit.
Lean back, relax, and enjoy. Sex toy news.
Oh, yeah. Drop that beat.
Coming to you live from...
get out of here. Yeah.
There you go.
He told police he was too drunk to remember what happened. A Peruvian man was arrested after police say he killed his wife by using an explosive device as a sex toy. Ruben Valera Corneo is accused of putting a mortar bomb in his wife's vagina while in their home in Peru. The woman has not been named.
A mortar round?
A mortar bomb is what it says here. According to Cornejo, she asked him to use various household objects as sex toys.
How big is her vagina that he could put a mortar bomb in?
Well, right now it's really big, Kareem. He says he's too drunk to remember exactly what happened, and police say his wife's sensual requests still don't explain why he used a bomb. He says he fell asleep, and when he woke up, he noticed his wife was unresponsive. He's maintained his innocence in her death since his arrest. The police chief described the bomb as large, around 16 inches long and 2 inches wide. And the woman didn't die because the device went off. She died as a result of the wounds caused by the device itself. Painkillers were also found, and it's believed they were used to control the pain. That's what painkillers are for. Police also say they found the device, which was covered in blood, no kidding, and other DNA from the woman in a handbag along with other sex toys. No! The device was also inactive and was used as an ornament in their home. So they have terrible taste in decor as well. He's still maintaining he did not mean to kill his wife, but he was arrested on suspicion of murder. Police have not said yet whether or not they believe the incident was premeditated. Hey, it's sex toy news. It can't all be fun and games. But some of it is. Because The Shape of Water has a fishman-inspired sex toy. Guillermo del Toro and star Doug Jones know about that. But thanks to the Oscars, where the film won top awards, including Best Picture, we now know that even more people found out about the toys. people who matter the most to the makers, consumers. According to The Wrap, Xenocat Artifacts, the company behind the unlicensed erotic memorabilia inspired by The Shape of Water, put 28 more units up for sale the day before the Oscars, and in 20 minutes, they were gone. They may be sold out for a while. When asked if demand had grown since the film's strong showing in Oscar season, the product's creator replied, "Yeah, pretty good amount. Pretty good amount."
Wow.
Would you like to be fucked by a fish man? We can help you. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Is there no end to what you don't want jammed in your twat?
No. Or what you want to jam your thing into. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a woman version. You know, like, yeah.
Yeah, but the woman in the movie was a woman.
No, but I mean, like, there'll be, like, hers, like, his sister, you know? Like, the sequel, the sex toy will have a sequel. For the men, you know?
I know what you mean. I get it. By the way, as someone so eloquently pointed out, the shape of water is the container in which it lives. Right. Water has no shape.
Mm-hmm.
The shape of water is the container that it's in. All right, so...
Whoa, you just blew my mind in the whole meaning of the movie.
Science.
Like, bam.
It's true. So the big news last week was there was a burger-flipping robot. It was on TV and everything at Cali Burger in Pasadena, California.
Good morning, I'm Rachel.
Support for this podcast and the following message.
Oh, they're going to go ahead and cut it off. The robot was named Flippy. And there was great video of Flippy just flipping burgers. And they're like, no, there's, you know, some things that need to be worked on about Flippy. You know, we have to, you know, put the burgers down and, we have to put the cheese on them. But Flippy flips the burgers. Well, it turns out an unskilled teenager sometimes is better than the smartest robot you got.
And this just in, Flippy is on hiatus. Last week in Pasadena, the local Cali Burger outlet gave the burger-flipping robot an opportunity to make history and to replace a human cook, turning burgers on the grill. The $60,000 robot was hired with great fanfare. Cali Burger boasted Flippy could flip 2,000 patties a day. The robot even has image recognition and heat-sensing technology to allow it to know when the burgers need flipping. Though just after one day on the job, Flippy got a pink slip. Turned out its human helpers couldn't keep up preparing the patties for Flippy. The company says not to despair for the robot. There is still hope for a callback for this automated hamburger help.
Flippy out. Flippy out.
They'll get it down. They'll figure it out.
No, they're not going to figure it out.
Right.
Do you realize how many more moving parts has to be added for that to work?
Right. Well, the only other way to figure it out is to have enough people to work fast enough to keep up with it.
Yeah. So now you got to add cheese.
I'm not being fucking serious. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, there are people that fucking hate the idea of, like, having a minimum wage enough to where they're going to keep trying to fix it.
Sure.
And keep wasting money that they could be spending on their employees. And having a working class that's not, you know, poverty stricken and can't afford rent.
Yeah, Flippy don't want a 401k.
No.
Yeah.
Flippy don't demand a cigarette break.
Right. So they'll keep trying. They'll keep working on it until they figure that they're fucked.
By the way, Flippy, the only kitchen worker ever that didn't smoke cigarettes. Only one ever.
And they're trying to do certain stuff now. Like, I go to, Panera Bread. And so they have the time things for to make eggs.
The paninis?
Yeah. No, they actually have a one for eggs.
An egg timer.
Not everybody wants a runny fucking egg. Some of us like to have our eggs cooked. I want a sunny side egg that's well done. I don't want to have a scrambled egg because you decided that your machine can only cook an egg the sunny side egg. like just dumb shit. Hey, cook your fucking bacon. They don't cook their bacon all the way.
Yeah, it's a rough thing. The thing was with bacon, like my wife wants her bacon well done.
Yeah.
Like what I call burnt. I like my bacon a little less done, but there is bacon that is not done enough.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Like, I don't want no pink-ass bacon.
You know what I would like? I would like an egg cooked so that the center is still cold, and I'd like underdone bacon.
Yeah.
Can you get me some chicken that's medium well as well? I'd like to really cut down on that. I'm really hoping to get salmonella today.
Exactly.
I hate my job enough that I want to get food poisoning.
I'm thinking of, like, what you can say. Like, because I know all the things you can say in order to get, like, you know, I'll say over easy because I still like my egg runny, or like sunny side up means that, you know, it's gonna be a runny egg for sure. So like there has to be something that you can say like that's just like, no, I just wanted a. There's nothing you can't say anything. There's nothing to say. Like, I just want a well done egg. I just want an egg.
Yeah,
well
but
done.
The machine won't make it.
No, I know the machine won't make it.
And that's the thing. Like, who fucking asked you?
The machine won't. They're saying that the machine won't.
The machine won't make it.
They're saying that.
Yeah.
Man, tell them to go fuck themselves and put it on a second time.
Like,
tell them to put it in a second time. Seriously, tell them to get the fuck out if you're going to put it in a second time.
And like, who asked? Like, the thing is, who asked you to make the change?
Do you have any idea how much money they save on electricity by cooking the eggs halfway?
Seriously, just tell them to put it in again. Like, get the fuck out. Oh my God, there's nothing.
Like, nobody asked you to make the change. Like, if somebody wanted it that way, they could ask for it that way. Yeah. And it's not going to save you that much more time because.
And now it's time for the airing of the fucking grievances.
Because now you have.
This is my airing of the grievances. I got one today.
Because now you have to wait for them to cook. I wanted the egg, the regular way. And then I had to wait for them to scramble eggs because they didn't have enough scrambled eggs made instead of being able to just put it in the machine the way they did the other
one. What fucking Panera Bread are you fucking going to? Man, get this fucking place out of here.
It was there. I'm just saying, that's what it was. I was like, what the fuck did you, like, nobody asked you to make the change.
Man, get that.
Yeah, here's what you got to tweet Panera Bread.
Yeah.
All the time. You just gotta tweet Panera Bread. That's the only way you're gonna get change. It's the only way to get change in this world nowadays. You gotta tweet about it. That's how we got a president.
Yeah, but I am with him. I do have a grievance.
Okay. Well, we'll do that. We're almost out of time this year. We'll do it for Friday's show. How about that?
Let's leave the hustle and bustle ones too, guys, for small town news.
Teaser.
Well, people all over got complaints. That's why they read in to Speak Out at the Press Republican in Plattsburgh, New York. This first one, farmers complaining about milk prices continue to not understand supply and demand. Increasing your herd and producing more milk does not help your profit margin. You just shoot yourself in the foot by flooding the market with milk. You know who doesn't understand? The person who wrote this.
Yeah.
Obviously not.
Because the price of milk goes up and down a lot. Yeah. And it's not necessarily supply and demand. There are other factors that go into it.
Gas prices being one.
You goddamn simpleton. Hey, everyone is sorry to hear about the shootings in Florida, but blaming the NRA is like blaming Chevy or Ford for a drunk driver killing someone in an accident. Lack of human actions let this happen. No, that's not at all what it's like. If you're going to use a fucking simile, how about use a goddamn simile that makes some fucking sense? Maybe it would be more like blaming Budweiser because the person got drunk and then crashed.
Oh.
You ignorant cocksucker.
Guess what?
They do.
They do.
Yeah, if you get overserved at a bar and you go out and get into a drunk driving accident, they come after the bar. Asshole. Now I'm mad at the people doing writing in to Speak Out. I'm mad at the people feeding me. Anyway, residents of a local facility continue to be subjected to poor food quality, small portions, extra charges for a cookie, bacon, etc. Oh, not a cookie or a bacon or etc. All right, I need to hear what this is about. Am I judging too soon? Despite numerous complaints, nothing is done. Something must be done so residents are treated properly. This is not the warm, resident-oriented facility it once was. These conditions need to be addressed. Now, watch, it's old people who are just being fed crap.
Yeah. Your dad heard this is Fat Mike, who just wants extra food. And they're like, you're on a specific diet, Mike. Right? You're really old.
Everybody's complaining about the dining hall at Plattsburgh State because they stopped offering unlimited cereal. Hey, not only would I never send my child to this university, but if I were an employer, I would never hire any of these social justice activists. Very sad what has become of our education system, but predictable after decades of indoctrination by the left. All they teach, protest/resist. Somebody watches a lot of Fox News.
Like, did he miss the last 8 years? Resist.
Right. I just came back from Israel. Before I went, I repeatedly heard about the danger of violence, shootings, etc. Israel had 58 handgun deaths last year. The United States had over 10,000. A psychological exam is required every 2 years to possess a firearm in Israel. Ammunition is limited to 30 rounds. And you need a very good reason to get a gun. No gun culture. It's not a toy like in the U.S. You know what they have there? They've got the rock culture. They'll just stone you. Old Testament style.
Yeah, we get stoned here, too. Don't we, Jason?
So students are all lined up outside the new security gate to get into their school campus. Seems like a soft target. And the security guard with a handgun? No match for an assault rifle. Security fence outside the mall? Outside Starbucks? The problem is guns. Way too many guns! I think we know it's in the social consciousness in Plattsburgh.
Apparently.
And finally, parents, please be advised. Not only should you fear your child being bullied by their peers, but fear your child being bullied by a coach or a teacher. They can be the real bullies.
Says being a bitch ass.
Says the student. says the guy on the baseball team that had to run laps.
Why did you have to run laps, Billy? Oh, no, I know, I'm being bullied. Makes me sad. I was being bullied by stuff. It's a sad time. Alright, well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. There was a lot.
It's a lot.
We dealt with a lot. Apparently, these guys have grievances. We'll get to those on the Friday episode. So please get ready to download that and hear what's been chewing at their a-holes. What's been causing an itch back there they just can't reach.
Mm.
We'll deal with all that and wish you a fond farewell. And by the way, if you're going to shop Amazon, please go through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. It helps support the show and doesn't cost you anything extra. We'll see you on Friday.
Those were very bad times.
You're a loudmouth schnook.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
cares about them?